Well, it was magic round. These two, I hear, were magical. These three, in fact. Scotty Sattler, Gary Reach around Belcher, and the great Woogie, and they're on the line. G'day, boys.
Hey, boys. Hello. How are you? Hello, Missile.
G'day, boys. How are we?
Yeah, I know
you've been listening. Sore heads today?
No, pretty good, actually. Pretty good. Pretty tired last night. Big day yesterday. I mean, Fletch would be just struggling. He was struggling yesterday morning. Absolutely struggling.
Yeah. Who are you, Joel?
Mate, I heard a rumour as to why I may not have been there, actually. Would you like to share with the listeners why people up in Queensland, why would they think I was absent last week?
Well, there's many led to believe that you're banned from Suncorp Stadium.
Pot plants involved?
Yeah, pot plants and things you do in them.
Yeah.
When intoxicated.
Yes, yes. Yeah. I have got enough pot plants at home to worry about that. But, boys, I will... raise this particular issue. One thing I did learn, I was listening to you, Bugger Lugs, on the weekend, and Bears Head was on there, and we learned that there is now, you know, there's been arguments about who's the fastest player in the game. Is it the Fox, whoever it is? But there's a new player who's the fastest player over 3 metres. Is that right?
Absolutely. Some of the great commentary on the weekend by Corey Parker, where the Warriors versus the Bunnies, where he basically declared that Reece Walsh is the quickest player over 3 metres.
Three metres. What's a good time for a 3 metre sprint?
Wouldn't have a clue. It's all in the start, apparently. Brooksy reckons it's all in the start.
You'd think so. You burn out that last metre or so, you're in trouble. What'd you make of Magic Round, boys?
Magic is outstanding.
It's a bit slow to start, wasn't it? It wasn't the greatest game, the Doggies and Knights. Just went. I guess for some, you know, if you're a Manly fan, both of those people wouldn't be real happy. They weren't good. Some teams weren't great, but others were just outstanding.
Just seeing all the fans in different jerseys around Caxton Street, around the entire precinct, and then being able to see so many highlights in one ground over 3 days. I mean, the Selwyn Cobbo intercept on 3 tries in the first half. You know, Cody Walker's first half against the Warriors, and then to round out Magic Round to see that try that Murray Taulagi set up for Scott Drinkwater, just priceless, absolutely priceless.
Mitchell Moses.
How many games can you watch? I mean, there's people there that I reckon watched all eight. I don't know how, but what's your limit? What about you, James?
I reckon if you piece them all together, I'd probably watch 5 games.
Mine, I can watch 8 across the weekend on TV if I can walk in and out of the lounge room, have a bite to eat, that kind of thing. In a row,
I could watch eight easy.
Sats can do it easy. Yeah. He's, in fact, very disappointed there's not another 3 games on today.
Yeah, okay. That's tough.
Got
are
me.
You eating,
two,
are you
I called
during
two
the games
and
or do you just sit through?
I don't stop eating, Missile.
Oh, really?
Don't
You're a big
eating.
Eater.
Yeah. Yep.
What's your go-to during the football?
Usually hamburger.
Hey, didn't we get some good spring rolls in that?
Now, Missile, you've got to understand something about Reach Around Belcher. Yeah, whenever we call games in corporate suites, he turned his microphone off. His trademark is he walks in, as soon as we're on air, he looks around and he's just looking for food. Oh. Where's the trays of food? He loves it.
The bin chicken. The bin chicken on the hunt. Hey, boys, based on our last Magic Round, has it kicked? Has it, like, really kicked, would you say, this year?
Yep.
Yes.
Absolutely. Oh, I think it proved that it's kicked because of the weather.
Yeah.
And people still turning up. It was, you know, Saturday was it was torrential rain on Saturday. And, Bad, you were there Saturday. It was absolutely amazing, the amount of fans that still turned up. I know it was sold out 2 weeks before, but a lot of people will say, well, especially in southeast Queensland, they'll just wake up and see what sort of weather it's going to be. But to still turn up, even though they'd bought the ticket, it was amazing.
It was outstanding. Now, boys, that first game you mentioned was a bludger. And Trent Barrett, of course, loses his job. Now, I'll tell you what, they have scientific experiments and they have the control and they have the variable, right? So I thought, is this a chance for us to all see if Walker Ball actually works? If we've got the Walker boys onto the control, which is the Bulldogs, nothing's changed, the off-season remains the same, players remain the same, nothing to lose, and just say, you know what, boys, go down there, put your spin on it, and we'll see if what you boys do actually works in the top-flight NRL. What do you think about that?
Can't lose. You can't lose from it, I think. I mean, it would... I think something that I've watched the Bulldogs, and Missile, you're a Bulldogs fan, aren't you? The one thing I've noticed about the Bulldogs is they just seem so structured to the point where you don't want to step outside the circle and be a little bit more spontaneous. So probably spontaneity is something they probably need. I would think.
Well, I think I actually think the Warriors fall into the same trap. There's no surprise they rushed home because the shackles were off. The game was gone.
Yeah.
So you start to get out of robot mode and you start to play a bit of bloody football.
I don't understand with the Bulldogs. Barrett was the attack coach at the Panthers, and yeah. they don't attack like that. Like, when they see an opportunity, they rush it.
Yeah.
Whereas the Bulldogs seem to be the exact opposite to that. An opportunity presents itself, but rather than rushing at that hole or that gap or that momentum, they go back into structure and do a couple of settlers. So I don't know why Barrett didn't, I don't know, bring across that same style that the Panthers have, or maybe the Bulldogs just don't have the players to execute.
Is it the
that
players?
Style.
Yeah, that's the problem, isn't it? Yeah. Sometimes you want your team to play a certain way. I think you've got to look at who you've got and what can you do with them, because you can't, you know, you can't really tell them to play like Cleary and Luai do if you haven't got halves that can, right. can do those things.
True.
Yeah.
Who was the magic men, boys? If we gave out a magic trophy for the player of the round, which I think we should do, actually, maybe voted by the fans.
We spoke about this throughout the whole weekend. We spoke about it again tonight also, Joel and James. We, you know, different awards. What was the magic try of the weekend? Yeah. What was the magic tackle of the weekend? The magic innovation in relation to the NRL, they had Oblivion Cam.
Yeah, so they, gold.
It was great. So they had the camera on people and had a timer up in the top right-hand corner, and it timed how long it realised that they were. And there was one guy asleep. He was asleep for that long that people were getting photos around him. It was hilarious. Kiss cam, of course. There was flex cam where people flexing into the cam. But if you're looking at the magical player of the round, I would say Adam Reynolds.
Yeah.
Reuben
yeah.
Cotter. What a surprise he was. Outstanding. Yeah. The little front rower.
Cobbo. Yeah. Selwyn Cobbo.
Selwyn Cobbo was great.
Yeah.
Young Sammy Walker.
It's starting to line up nicely for Queensland, isn't it? All those players, all Queenslanders, all
Cut
young
Cut it
guns.
Out. We're underdogs, all right, Dave?
Hey, boys, it was wonderful up there. Everyone behave themselves? Is it? How'd you go, Woog?
I went all right, mate. I came home every day after we finished on air. I even got escorted by Sats yesterday, so I was really well behaved. You know how boring he is.
Escorted out of the stadium.
But how'd Brooksy go? Didn't he miss his plane today?
I heard that.
Did he have a big night on
that.
The tiles last night?
He didn't mention that. That might be why there's about five words in the rundown. He didn't mention that. I'll tell you what he did do for the notes. For
not happy with the rundown, Joel. That's a little...
No, I'm G'ing up. I am G'ing up.
Where's the rest of the material on the rundown? Oh, what are we going to talk about?
To his credit, he's actually got a stack here, but I will say this. He did say for my notes for Drew Mitchell, he said that Australia have won the rights to the 2017 and 2019 World Cup. I thought that'd be good.
No one has bid for it, so well done, Australia.
Oh, he's here. He is.
Oh, he sounds dusty.
He does.
Where
he
did you go last? Yeah. Brooksy,
It wasn't a late one.
9 o'clock.
No, it wasn't. He was saying earlier on, it was not about how much I drank or how late I stayed. It's because I was singing and talking really loudly.
Yeah.
I have spies at that 7-Eleven. They saw you sneaking out of the hotel late at night. Is that true?
They have the best chicken twisties on the Eastern Seaboard.
You sound like someone who Alan Langer got in a headlock at 2 a.m.
Hey, just
oh,
on just
what
on
about
Alfie.
That yesterday?
So Alfie's obviously, they played Friday night and they've had a great win. And we're calling the game yesterday now in the suite that we called the game out of with all our corporate partners, and next door, Alfie's in there entertaining.
That's the Broncos box.
So he's outside the corporate suite having a drinking game just with punters.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's good.
Just
on the grandstand side or at the back?
At the back where all the corporates are all walking around. He's just dragging them in doing drinking games.
And of course, what about the king? I saw the king standing outside the box going, I'm not going in.
That's right.
He's trying to get the king in there doing shots.
That's good. Oh. Leon Botts. That's outstanding. Hey, boys, what else is happening there? Actually, you know what, Woogie? I might come to you with this one because it's very, very sad. We wake up on Sunday morning. Andrew Simons has passed away. Just 46, two young kids. You know, devastating, isn't it? And I know that you hosted the program to really, break all that down. And, mate, just devastating, isn't it?
It was really hard to speak. And I don't have a problem talking, Joel, but it was shocking. You know, I found out from Sats about 9 o'clock that morning. Next minute we're in the car and we're putting a show together. It was just, Yeah, it was just devastating, and that so heartbreaking to talk to his mates like Damien Fleming and I had Gilly on the air yesterday. He's in tears, you know. Adam Gilchrist is crying openly on air, and Heels, who you know we spoke to tonight, it's hit him hard. But you know, then you read the articles like last night. I was telling the boys, you got here's his two blue heelers who were in the car with him, wouldn't let anyone go near his body, and oh man, it's just. Now, the cricket gods have been, bastards this year, haven't they?
Yeah.
It's got to stop.
And characters of the game, Warnie, Rod Marsh, Dean Jones a while back, and, of course, now Andrew Simons. It's tragic.
Sugar, we did the game last night with Brent Tate, and Badge arrived at the Broncos in 2003. Badge is a strength and conditioner. In 2002, he said, I'm going to give up cricket. I'm going to try and have a rugby league career. So he went to the Broncos pre-season training.
Wow.
And Tatey was telling a story about how Wayne Bennett said, yep, I'm going to give you every chance. And so they did this, and you'd remember it, the Californian, where you start on trial line. You run out 10, run out 20, go back to the trial line, run out 30, all the way out to the halfway.
So 20 years ago, he would have been 26. So he's still, a good age for it.
Yeah, absolutely. So he turned up for the first day, and they did this drill, Tatey said, and he just smoked everyone. They had to do 10 of them. He just smoked everyone in the first two or three, and they said,
"But how many do you have to do?
10 of them. How good are the cricket players? They must be that fit." Yeah. Anyway, by the time they got the 8th, 9th, and 10th, Carl Webb and Shane Webke were beating him home.
I'll tell you what, Gibbo said this about Andrew Simons, rest in peace. He said he made fielding cool, didn't he? Like something like fielding he would make cool, and... Oh, geez, tragic. It's absolutely tragic.
Bad, you played in that flood relief game, didn't you?
Yeah. And I loved playing, having him on our side. And he's so passionate about it. And he was so keen before. He was jumping around the dressing room. And, he was pretty serious. He just wanted to win that game. And those games are always lighthearted early. But as soon as someone gets a little clip, I think someone got a little clip across the nose from Spud or someone. And anyway, Gordy started going hard, and Wendell started setting up tries, and Roy was in trying to belt people. But, Benny jumped up and did. You know Desi Hasler, the old jump up, bear hug, tackle, drag, put you straight on the ground? He did one of them on him, and Roy got up, and there was a big push and shove. And
I guess
if you're a Queenslander and you're going to have a push and shove with a New South Welshman, it's got to be Benny Elias.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Fletch was saying he played in that game, and he said he took the ball up when we were talking to Fletch yesterday about it. And Fletch said, I'm going to run it, Andrew Simons. I'm not going to take it too hard because he's a cricket player. And he said Roy just ripped in and got underneath the rib cage. He said, he cut me in half, Trevor Gilmeister. Like, he was that serious. But that's the way he was. He was just relentless in everything he did.
What about that trial, though, he did with the Broncos? You can tell Wayne Bennett's got a sense of humour. They started doing some wrestling towards the end. They teed Roy up with a 115-kilo 19-year-old called Dave Taylor. Oh. And he's just throwing him around like a rag doll everywhere.
Yeah, that's set up for sure. Absolutely. So what is on the show, boys? You got the Magic Awards, of course.
Yep. You got the Magic Awards. We covered the magical try, the magical moment, the interaction that you love the best.
We're talking to Joel Kane and James Magnuson.
Yes. Ian Healy.
Hey, boys.
Heels will be coming along too.
Heels, yes.
When we speak next Monday, we will have either a continuing Prime Minister or a new Prime Minister. How do you see this playing out? What's your guess?
Come on.
What's your guess?
We banned it from our show because Woogie loves politics, and we banned him the first week and said, mate, you don't do it. We don't talk
about
stuff.
I'm a ScoMo fan, see, but,
I'm booking my flights. I'm out of here.
Okay. All right. Look, cool. As I said, you don't talk religion and politics on air, and I'm not asking for who you're tipping.
You're allowed to, That's illegal.
That's right.
No, it's not.
I'm just asking who you think will win it.
Don't ask us that.
No comment.
I'm not telling.
No comment. Fair enough.
Sounds like you want to tell us, Sugar.
Well, Sugar, you know what's going on in the odds, and usually they're not far away from it, are they?
Yeah.
Well, the odds, it's heavy the way for Labor, but I think it's got to be 50-50. Like, these days, you saw what happened with Trump, you saw what happened with ScoMo last time. So
whatever those polls say late in the week, go the absolute opposite.
Absolutely.
They never get it right, and they get paid a fortune.
That's right.
It just... full of it.
I'll tell you, can I give you a crap stat?
They interview their aunt and their brother and their sister up the street, and then they go,
No opposition leader's ever been elected prime minister by being not the preferred Prime Minister in the polls. So Albo's behind as the preferred Prime Minister.
Yeah.
It's never happened in the history of voting in Australia.
Wow. Okay, so it's good value. It's good value then if you're betting on the
And what are you going to give for that to happen?
Gamble responsibly.
Yes.
You're going to give them what? 10-1 you're going to give them.
No, I'm not offering anything. It's just a crap. So I thought you'd play the crap stack thing, well, Gibbo.
Gibbo had it ready to go.
Crap stack.
He's on the ball, isn't he?
He's been on it too.
Gentlemen, I'll tell you what, young Gibson rang up before, and embarrassingly, is there anything that you've not done for your children? Maybe you've not shown them a TV show or a movie. So for me, I've never cooked curried sausages for the kids, and I'm quite embarrassed about it.
I cooked curried sausages on air 2 weeks ago.
Did you?
I love curried sausages.
Rice or potato?
Outstanding. Well, I cooked rice, but in a perfect world, I'd rather potato.
Yeah, mash, yeah.
Right. Yeah.
My kids still don't think Carols by Candlelight exist. I've never taken them one, never let them watch it.
That would be a punish, though.
It is a punish. Yeah.
We didn't let our kids watch The Simpsons until they started begging us at about...
What?
They were about 8 or 9. Dad, we've got to watch it. Everyone else watching it. We go, no, you can't watch it.
What a horrible upbringing.
I know. Yeah.
Everyone's talking about
you make
Homer
them watch
who?
MASH?
They used to watch Current Affair and the news.
Yeah, well, there you go. Things that you haven't done for your kids. Boys, we appreciate your time here on a Monday.
See you, guys.
See you, boys.